You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
My number five, I know, is not an album that's on your list.
That's okay. What do you got?
People thought that this album would have been higher for me.
Mm.
And the reason why it wasn't, I'll explain after I reveal it. It's Saba's Care For Me.
Boy, I also listened to that one, and I tried.
It's an album that you can't skim because it starts off really not good.
Okay.
But about four tracks in, it's like a gradual left turn. And by the end of the album, you are completely like in his world. The only reason why the album is low is because I didn't listen to it as much. And the reason why I didn't listen to it as much is because it's really depressing.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I can't, the older I get, the more like depressing, like I can't do it.
Right.
I can't enjoy other people's depression. Like, it's different. Emotions are different on a record. Sometimes you're dumping. Like, sometimes you are processing and sometimes you are dumping. Sometimes dumping is a part of the process. But when you dump and you just leave the dump, like, I can't do it. And I feel like that's what Saba did. Like, Joe Budden used to do that. And that's what Saba did. Like, he dumped and he dumped and he left it there. And I basically, like, the listener has to, like, clean up your dump. And that's really heavy for me to take on personally. So for a lot of people, I talked about how much I liked that album and how a lot of people thought it was going to be in my top three. It was too depressing for me to give it that level of praise.
Okay.
All right. A number four record I definitely want to talk about because I didn't realize this was this high. I didn't realize how much I listened to this album, but I really enjoyed it. And I already know that I'm already waiting on the Doc shot. The Carters, Everything Is Love.
Yeah, I figured that would be in your list.
Yeah.
I went back and listened. So I definitely went back and listened to this.
Okay.
I totally get why people might have this at the top, near the top. I totally get it. There is something about this album that just does not like hit me or impact me, but it's not bad or terrible. Like, I like it better than 444, which... I don't really know if I'm fully in on Beyonce as like a rapper, but I know that people love that idea. So, you know,
you don't like rapping Beyonce.
Okay. It's not that I don't like rapping. So the one album of hers that I actually really love is her self-titled one, right? Beyonce.
Yep. That's her album. That's her magnum opus as of right now.
It is. And there is a hardness to those beats that really contrasts nicely with her to me.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
They're like a lot of those beats are just upper echelon.
Yes.
And Everything Is Love is a very like warm sounding album.
Okay.
With a couple exceptions. Like I think Apish actually kind of like feels out of place to me.
Okay.
I don't really like that song.
I don't either.
It's a throwaway Migos record.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there are parts of the album that are like very warm sounding, but then there are parts that are kind of, I don't know. The beats were good, but not great to me. And I don't know. It was fine. It was like professionally done. And that sounds so like dismissive and offhand, but like it was well done. It just didn't really hit me that way. And it's actually kind of amazing how nobody talks about that album.
Yeah. I've only seen one media outlet have it on their list.
Yeah.
It's very shocking to me.
I mean, I think people, they released it at the wrong time.
I'm still mad at them for not performing anything. It should have preceded the tour. They put it out like after like the fourth show.
Right. Actually, and if they would have put out for the tour, they would have sidestepped that whole like June thing, you know?
Yeah, that's trash. That I agree with. That's a good point.
Yeah, but like as an album, like it was fine, but I just didn't find myself like listening to it really ever. I mean, what's the song on there I really like? There's one that I really...
Nice?
Yeah, I really like Nice.
Okay, Nice is fire.
Nice is really good.
Yeah, Nice is fire.
Yeah, I went back and listened to it. I felt better about it than I think I did when I first heard the album. So I think that's an album that could really like grow on people.
Yes.
But I feel like they've just like dropped it. Like there's no... like it's not like they put a single out or did that. Like it literally like came and went.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the problem of us as fans versus anything else, but like that's definitely an album where like because of the volume of music. Like, they needed to work that album.
Yep. Yep.
And for them, the tour was working the album.
It was.
Which Drake kind of pulled that same trick with Scorpion, right? His tour was what he did to work Scorpion, but he still came out with the video for In My Feelings. You know, he still, and his, I mean, Drake's hits were so big that he didn't have to work at us. He didn't have to, like, keep doing stuff. Between the tour and the fact that, you know, he had singles everywhere, then, you know, he was fine. But, like, you know, it's tough to work a tour, to have the album, like, be how you, have the tour be how you work the album, you know?
Okay, so here's a question. Is it to the Carters' detriment that I almost feel like they considered themselves, that's kind of thinking for them. I don't want to say that. It kind of came across like, we're too big to work this album. This is a Jay-Z and Beyonce album. This is the tour. This is enough.
It kind of came across as like, you know, we wanted to do some music. So we put some stuff together. We had Kool & Dre come out and finish this off and do some stuff. And that was the album. And there's some stuff that came out of it that was dope. But there's some stuff that came out of it that was like, you know, it was fine. To me, it was fine. But I totally understand why that might be high on people's list.
Yeah.
So wait, what number is that for you?
Four.
Okay. Well, I need to jump in here because I've got...
Please.
So I want to give an honorable mention shout out. And then I've got another one right after that to a hypothetical thing that could have existed, right? Which would basically be a single disc of Scorpion.
Yes.
A single disc of Scorpion would probably be in my top five. Assuming you pick the right stuff, which is a big assumption. But you could jettison huge chunks of disc two.
Bruh.
And nobody would care.
Absolutely. Let me pull up Scorpion right now. Let's discuss it. Sure. What records do you take out?
Let me pull out the track list. Brent's hearing my loud keyboard.
Nope, it wouldn't be a Clock Radio Speakers episode without it.
See, I have sort of in my to-do eventually to get not just a better mic, but then like a shock absorption so that the mic won't pick up that vibration. And then people are going to be like, where's the keyboard?
Absolutely.
All right, so off the second disc, like I would keep, I mean, you got to keep Nice for What. You got to keep In My Feelings.
Yes.
I actually kind of like Blue Tint.
Okay.
I would actually keep Ratchet Happy Birthday because it's so weird it works.
Oh, God. Okay.
But like Peak? Finesse? That's How You Feel? After Dark? Wow. Final Fantasy? Like, there's so much here that's just...
Wow.
I
you didn't pick any of the records.
What would you keep?
Aside from the singles, Jaded.
Yeah.
That's How You Feel. The Michael Jackson record for The Idea.
Right. And March 14th. And would you keep March 14th?
Absolutely not. I was talking to, a friend of mine has this as his album of the year. I mean, he's like a huge Drake fan. Mm. And I said, when you think back on how Drake ends his albums, it's a victory lap. The Ride.
Sure.
6 p.m. in New York. I can't even think off the top of my head. Like, there's these records that are always like, I just killed this album. Now I'm about to go do this. I see y'all next year.
Yeah. In a sense, you know what should have closed the album?
What?
God's Plan. You have so many other singles, it's fine.
Yeah, but you put that on. You know why you put that as the first disc. That's for the streams.
So, yeah, it is. It is, right? Which is part of the thing. But like when Drake started, like if you think back to 10 years ago, Drake, you could probably argue that maybe he was better at the R&B side or blending or maybe right there in the middle. But like, to me, I think he's gotten better at doing rap songs as time has gone on. But I don't like what he does with R&B much anymore.
Mm.
I think they all sound like kind of generic.
Yeah.
Him and 40 don't have that touch anymore on R&B and haven't for a while.
Hot take.
When was the last Drake 40 R&B, like R&B-ish song that you were just like, yeah.
Let's go. Drake and 40. Okay.
So like,
I'm on Views right I'm now. So Views. Get It Together is a Black Coffee record. So that doesn't count.
Yeah. Actually you can argue. I was going to say, maybe a record. Yeah. Actually not what I would call a traditional R&B, but like when he tried to do the Caribbean Jams thing.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, but like...
But that was... I thought that was 1985 and not 40.
The 40's in some of that, and there's, you know, like, you know, Murda in 1985 do, like, With You with Party. But, like, I'm talking, like... Because Disc 2 of Scorpion is full of slower R&B records, right?
It is.
I'm talking the slow, which used to be Drake. Like, go back and listen to So Far Gone. That's like his wheelhouse.
Of course. Of course. But that's also 2010.
It totally is. But so like nobody asked him to do a second disc like that's, you know, 2/3 full of slow R&B records.
Right. Okay. So I see what you're saying. So the idea is Drake has to cater to a lot of different audiences. Whereas Pusha, somebody like Pusha, can just do drug raps over hard beats and everybody's satisfied. Drake has to do club records, girl records, like he's Jay.
Right, he's got
to
do trap records, yeah.
Yep, he's got to hang out with the youths. He's got to do a lot. So my friend was like, it made sense for you to, or for him to separate one disc be, you know, hip-hop and the other disc be R&B. To your point, the second disc is only one type of the R&B that Drake does.
A little bit. Like, In My Feelings is right in that perfect Drake wheelhouse. But, like, there's a lot of stuff on here that's just not that. He's gotten better. I think faster tempos work well for Drake nowadays.
Absolutely.
And there's just, the second disc, to me, it's like stuff that drags.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely. 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 Yep.
And I get the idea of trying to do Don't Matter to Me. But like, again, that's 40 in 1985 with a Michael Jackson hook that, you know, it's not like a classic Michael Jackson hook, but it's also not as bad as some of that stuff that we heard on, what was that?
the album that came out with Justin
Timberlake? Yeah.
Oh yeah, that stuff was terrible.
Right, but like, it's not like 40 in 1985 knocked that out of the park.
Right, but it was a flex.
It was totally a flex, and I get that.
It was a flex.
But like, I would dramatically trim that, yes.
Yeah.
And there's room because disc one's only 41 minutes. Like, there's room.
I was
going to
say, do you remove anything from disc one?
Let's see. Can't Take a Joke is fine.
Yep.
I think Mob Ties would have probably been... It's interesting that he didn't include Travis on the final version of that. He was supposed to be on that, apparently. Actually, ironically, I'm upset. Just it was his biggest swing in the miss of 2018, right?
Yeah.
Nobody cared about that.
They didn't.
He didn't need it. It was so strange. It's kind of interesting to me that, like, as he's putting this album together, he listens to all this stuff and he thinks to himself, yeah, I'm upset. That's the move.
So it's a question like, did he have Nonstop already? Did he have 8 out of 10 already? No, he didn't have 8 out of 10 already because, remember, his story is...
Oh, he scrapped a bunch of stuff, right?
He scrapped a bunch of stuff after going to Wyoming.
Right.
So what did he... Clearly, from 8 out of 10 on down, I think that's the stuff that was the new stuff.
Because
It's all about Kanye. I don't think... If Drake doesn't go to Wyoming, 20% of this album might be about Kanye as opposed to the 90% that it is now.
It does really go there.
Yeah.
But like, I think you could, and again, maybe it would be one of those things, but like you could, I mean, frankly, if you take like, just take Nice for What, In My Feelings, maybe Don't Matter to Me, and pick your, you know, a favorite, you know, another song or two off of side B, put them on side A, trim some of the fat, like you're there. But first of all, Drake, you know, he's the biggest rap artist, period. Right. Dominated 2018. And the way that streaming really like wants you, if you can, to put out a lot of stuff, then like I totally get it. But from like the concept of like putting an album together, nah. That's again back to that thing we were talking about earlier, this whole idea of like the album is just the vehicle for getting the stuff out.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, so.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going, H.
I want to talk about one that is 100% not on your list, but I found myself listening to it. Especially like because it didn't come out that long ago, the later part of this year, the Metro Boomin album.
You did like that album.
I like that album.
You did.
It really kind of came and went a little bit. Like there's some songs that are still like doing fine on streaming services and whatever, but it's like it's got production that I would say is like a cut above, which you might call like generic typical trap, right? Like. I honestly, like, there's a few exceptions. Like, I don't really care about, like, actually when Metro tries to do something a bit more popish, I'm totally out. Like the After Laughter sample before the Swae Lee and WizKid record, I was like, nope, nope, nope. But like 10 Freaky Girls with 21 is great. Don't Come Out the House with 21 is ridiculous. Him and Metro and Tay Keith, that beat is nuts. I like the Travis record, the Gucci record's fine. I kind of like Gunna, so I like the Gunna record. It's one of those things where like there's enough songs on here that it just kind of came back. It's almost like a Metro Boomin like playlist of sorts, but okay. That's fine. The deluxe bonus disc has the instrumentals.
I went back to it and noticed that. Yes.
Ooh, okay. Mm. That Don't Come Out the House beat is crazy. Those pianos, man. Mm. We haven't really talked about Tay Keith, but we should. I don't know. Is there an obvious time to talk about Tay Keith? Because like
we might as well now.
This was the year, man. Tay Keith had a year.
He had a great year. He did. He had a great year. Jacking DJ Paul Juice.
It's interesting now. Like he's really his newer stuff. Like he's definitely trying to not just do ominous pianos over trap drums, which is good.
Which is good, but he might Jalo beats himself.
A little bit. But it was a heck of a year, right? that song on that Eminem album is just, do you remember?
They rapped over Look Alive and they just asked him to do a version that's all that was.
You know, I don't know. It's one of those things where like, I would love to actually know the logistics of it, right? Because what I'd love to know is that they say, can you just do something like it? And then he's like, fine, I'll rearrange the pianos, have fun. Or did they say, we really want it to sound a lot like Look Alive. Like, whose idea was it to basically rearrange the pianos and change almost nothing else? Because that's funny to me.
Yeah.
It was funny. It's kind of ridiculous. But Tay Keith had a lot of songs this year that, like, you know, I'm not a big, like, Lil Yachty fan, but, like, that Who Want the Smoke beat is absurd.
It is dope.
Offset kills that song. We'll talk about I want to talk about Travis a little later.
We gotta talk about Travis.
But like, yep. You know, Sicko Mode, the beat switch at the end, Look Alive. Take you that have records, man.
Was he was on Never Recover too, right?
Was that Never Recover? I think so.
I feel like I heard the drop.
Yeah, that drop is everywhere, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it might be. Oh, it is, yeah. Yeah, Never Recover. Okay. Drake had a lot. Okay. Well, actually, so let's just talk about Drake now.
We've been talking about him for the last 20 minutes. Let's just keep going.
I think Drake's having basically like a 97 Puff Daddy year.
Okay.
I got a couple different ways I'm diagnosing that. It's actually almost uncanny. A little different now because streaming kind of impacts things a little bit and artists collaborate way more than they used to. But in the moment, almost nobody was saying, oh, you know, Puff Daddy No Way Out is the best album of 97, right? But Puff dominated 97.
It was his year.
It was his year. It was his sound. He was everywhere. How many songs we've talked about this on the show endlessly, right, before? Because it's an important year in hip hop. But like, how many songs had, you know, Puff and the Hitmen doing the remix or doing the lead single? Like, he was like everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a number one produced song for like this huge stretch of the year, right? Drake. Right, had number one songs for like this ridiculous percentage of the year. More than half the year, a Drake song was number one. Or a Drake, mm-hmm. And that's not even counting Sicko Mode, which went number one for a couple weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Drake, no one's going to, I mean, not say nobody, almost no one's going to say Scorpion is the best album. Like you can't define, in a truly definitive year for Drake, the album wasn't the definitive part. But
not at all.
But his guest appearances, like he was everywhere.
He was.
And for the most part, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of like most of them, right? Like,
yeah.
He was all over the place to a point where when he did a guest appearance and it totally didn't work, it was almost a surprise. Like, that was one of the surprising things about that Quavo album to me. Is like, really? Quavo got Drake on a song and it just was nobody cared. It came and went.
Yeah.
It wasn't that good. Neither artist really seemed like they cared that much. It sounded like something they put together. Like they, you know, after the tour one night, they were like, yeah, here's this beat. Let's do something.
Yeah.
It was weird. But no, like Drake had that kind of year. He was able to dominate without a dominating album.
Yes.
Puff did that in 97 because of the nature of his dominance, which was production and guest appearances. Like, that was that way. But Drake did it again because of the way that streaming works, right? Where, like, Drake, yes. Drake has, if you're featuring Drake and he's doing the hook and the, you know, and the, and gives you the verse, like, I mean, sure, Blockboy JB might regret Look Alive. I don't think so.
Probably not.
Right. But I mean, but like, Drake, to say Drake washes him is an understatement, right? That's Drake's song, essentially.
Yeah.
Sorry, Black Boy. And then he basically takes, he's like, hey, Tay Keith, why don't you give me some more beats? but like Sicko Mode, which I want to talk about Travis later, because I'll give you, like, Travis is higher up on my list, and I'm sure he's not, I'm sure Astroworld's not on your list.
No.
But I want to talk about him later, but like Sicko Mode, it starts with Drake, it ends with Drake, Travis is in the middle, but like that song was a hit because of Drake.
Yes, absolutely.
And he did that all throughout the year. So that's why I say he had like a 97 Puff Daddy kind of year.
Hmm. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So I got three left. You got three left?
Yep.
All right. What do you got?
Okay. So this is the album. Excuse me. I couldn't justify putting it as my number one, but this is the artist that I listened to the most in 2018.
Ooh. Please tell me you're going to say it's Even If I Lose.
I wanted to get in my bag and put my own album on the list, but I wanted to, but no.
Quick plug, everybody, like, go armonwakeup.com or just go to your favorite streaming service. If you haven't listened to Even If I Lose, you know what? It's not, now's a good time. You can come back to it, revisit. No, seriously. All right, anyway, what's your number?
Absolutely.
Three?
No, seriously. I was like, is that going to put my album on this list? But whatever. My number. Okay, so this is the artist. I don't know if it was just muscle memory, and this is just somebody I went back to, but just I just listened to him a lot this year. And it's West Side Gunn, Supreme Blind Tell.
Mm.
People like Conway. He's okay. This is what I learned. I think the whole Griselda movement embodies 2018 hip hop. So their accolades and their accomplishments are, we put out a bunch of music. I think Westside put out two projects. Conway put out two projects. Benny put out a project. They did a lot of merch during the year. But when they've got a formula, and I don't think it's a formula that a lot of people pick up on. Because out of those 20 tracks, maybe like a third of them are good.
Yeah, that's definitely a theme.
But that's what happens with all of their projects. Fly God is probably the closest thing where a little more than a third or better, maybe half of that album is really, really dope. But for them, it's about quantity and it's about the feel that they invoke, and they themselves are anti-heroes. But if you watch them on social media, much like Joe Budden, priding themselves on being the anti-hero, but they are dying to be accepted by the masses. Like, a true anti-hero is like, I'm not, like, this is exactly what I'm going to do. This is exactly what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to be. And those who like it. And those who don't. And that's okay. But, you know, if people have to consistently tell you, like, we don't care, I don't give a F, like, no, you care. But I noticed that about them is that they are dying for acceptance by the masses. Not that it's a bad thing, but I think it's not something that they are trying to put out there on Front Street. But a lot of this Supreme Blind Tell album, like, isn't good. But the songs that I like, I really, really like.
Mm.
And it has my fourth favorite verse of the year. First favorite verse of the year is Jay-Z on What's Free. Second is Taylor on Keep Dreaming. Third is the guy who made fun of Eminem using way too many napkins. And fourth is Busta Rhymes talking about selling coke on on Bros Face Brippler. That is the funniest verse of the year, because he's very aggressive. But he's like, who did we talk about earlier? Who's like in their, like, if you're 40s talking about your haters?
Oh, Meek.
Okay, so if you're 40s talking about your haters, if you're 45 talking about, like, cooking coke aggressively, like, basically indicting yourself. Big Bang Busta Rhymes. But yeah, this is the album that I listen to the most. bar none. Guys Don't Bleed is dope. Elizabeth is dope. Amherst Station is dope. If he was to take a third of this and a couple of records off of Hitler Wears Hermes, like, it would have been a crazy album. But of course you don't. Because the flex for them is, yo, I put all this work in, put out all this music. But, like, if two-thirds of it isn't good, 70% of it isn't good, then, you know.
I mean, that's been the sort of the good music flex this year, right? It's been, oh, we did 5 albums in 5 weeks.
Sure.
And it's like, well, you did 5 really short albums in 5 weeks. And some of those, maybe you want back. Just throwing that out there. Throwing that out there.
All right. That was good.
Speaking of good music, talk about an album. So this is an album that is imperfect, but okay. I found myself listening to chunks of it all year long.
Okay.
Nasir.
That album is better than people are giving credit for. It is.
It has 3 beats that you can just inject directly into my veins, which would be White Label.
Okay.
Bonjour.
Okay.
And Adam and Eve.
Yeah, Adam. Oh man.
Adam and Eve is nuts.
Yo,
Bonjour.
Slept on Adam and Eve. Bonjour.
Tony Williams on Bonjour is like, get out of here. Just, it's ridiculous. And
I want somebody else
to rap
to be on Bonjour. That beat is crazy.
And White Label, of course. You could not possibly make a beat that's more in the Doc wheelhouse than White Label.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. I listen to that, and if I listen to that now in the car, I'll get like too hyped. Like I might start speeding. It has those 3 records, which, okay, it's just 3, but here's where the 7-song thing comes in advantage. First of all, 3 out of 7 are phenomenal beats. Cop Shot the Kid was great the first 5 times I heard it, and now it's like, I'm good.
Oh boy. Have I ever fallen in love and out of love with a beat so quickly?
That song does not age well.
At all.
I like the ridiculous over-the-topness of the intro, but I get it. It's like, yeah. Do I want Puff Daddy rapping about scared MFers over the strings from The Hunt from Red October? Yes. Yes, I do. But I get it. The last song is a total whiff. And everything is fine-ish, I guess. But like, again, I could just come back I found myself coming back and listening. Because you know what it is? If I press play on the album, like, I would actually listen to the first song a little bit. I'd be like, oh, fine. The second song, I'd be like, ironically, I think Kanye actually, that's his song. Like, he's way better on that than Nas is. But then once I get to White Label, I can just let that album play for a little bit. And in a year where I just found myself coming back to certain songs over and over again, like, Nasir got a surprising amount of play for me for an album that is super flawed. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve, man.
Adam and Eve's crazy.
All right. 2 left. What do you got?
These are layups. Number 2 album of the year. One of my favorite rappers ever put out an album. It was great. It's the old man rap that I want to hear. Fonte, No News is Good News. The content carried this album is probably my only critique. The beats are okay.
They're fine.
And yeah, they're okay. But the content for me, again, knowing where Fonte has been, being divorced twice, and then for him to make a record called Sweet You, where he's like legit, like, yo, I'm really married and like, this is different. And that's great to hear. Hearing him process, you know, the death of, I believe, his father and I believe his grandfather or his father and his mother has like diabetes or some sort of illness associated with poor eating. And then him, you know, rapping about, you know, doctor checkups and colonoscopies and all that. Like, it's like, that's just so dope to hear. When you watch hip hop grow and mature, people instantly go to Jay-Z, but like Jay-Z is the 1% of hip hop. So like he's speaking to points that most of us will never grasp. Fonte is more of our speed. It is the everyday working man. It is 40 hours a week rap. And I'm always going to be here for that. So I'm biased. That's my number two. Album's dope. I love it. I listen to it a lot. That's my number two.
When you started describing who that album, that album, I got really excited because I thought that we were about to pick the same for number two.
Okay.
Because my number two is Lupe, Drogas Wave.
Yo, I saw somebody tweet about, was it called King Nas?
King Nas.
I forgot all about the second half of that album.
Oh no, King Nas is incredible. It's one of the best songs of the year.
I forgot all about it.
Oh no, Drogas Wave is, so it has, it is an album, right? It's a little long. At this point in his career, Lupe is doing whatever Lupe wants to do.
Yes.
clearly. It's a little long. You can argue could be tightened up at places. The story kind of actually falls apart completely at some point, but that's fine. But it has two things that I think really work well as an album. First of all, Lupe is rapping like crazy, right? But he's got beats that really work for him. I think King Nas is incredible. I think Imagine is phenomenal as well. He's got songs that are definitely like highlights, but then he also has something that I swear is a really lost art. He has good album cuts. This album is full of songs that you can just like, it's not like going to make your end of the year list, but you're not skipping over. Like it actually is, he has actual honest to goodness album cuts on here.
Oh my God. The lost art of good album cuts. I love that. Yes.
And
yes.
Like as a body of, and so for me, the expectations for this were just so low.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blown away. Like I shouldn't have been, because Lupe, you know, a lot of artists as they age start to lose, you might say they lose their like flow a little bit, lose their edge, or they switch it up or whatever. Lupe is seemingly ageless. Like he sounds just as, to me, like when he's rapping, like he's, you might as well be 2006 again.
Mm-hmm.
There's no change in terms of what he can do, which is incredible. It was true all along, right? I mean, yes, he was sometimes asked to make, you know, popular records, and he's an artist. He's one of those guys who, like, if he comes out in the 90s, right, he's got a totally different career. And if he comes out now, he's got a totally different career. His problem is he came out when the industry was trying to find itself, you know, when it didn't know what to do because of first, right, MP3s and bootlegging, and then the transition to streaming. He's an artist who just got sucked up in that, right? Because he wanted the major label. He almost got too late on that train, you know. It's kind of a sad story, but like the fact that he is now in control of his career, making music like this, it's an awesome story. He's the comeback, right? He's like, to me, he's like the comeback like rapper of the year, if such a word existed. Like, it's just, I was so, so happy with Drogas Wave.
Okay. I don't hate that at all.
You forgot.
That's my fault for totally forgetting about that album. Yeah. I did. But King Nas, oh my God. King Nas, bro.
The way he opens that second verse is so, like, the way that, you know, so like, you know me, I'm not wondering, like when you talk about, like, for example, how like Royce can like technically like rap in ways that are just amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Royce doesn't really hit me that way. But like what Lupe can do for whatever reason is so in my bag.
Absolutely.
It's the flow. You know, like in a sense, he can dip in and out of pocket really in a way that maybe like, I don't know, peak prime, like 97, 98 Jay-Z could.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do.
Well, those are the three greatest technical rappers ever to me.
Mm.
Royce, Lupe, and certain eras of Jay.
Yeah. That's what gets it for me, is like, he's just, it's so effortless. It sounds like he could just rap like that forever.
Yep.
You know? But yeah, Drogas Wave. Oh man. It had good staying power for me.
Okay.
Which is good.
Great. That's dope. Good pick. I'm going to go back and listen to it after we finish the show.
You're going to be like, oh man.
Yep. Yep, I'm sure. And I know we've got our listeners who would definitely have who have their Lupe bias. You didn't pick Lupe as your number two. Okay, so my number one, I mean, clear as day, another bias of an artist that I've been following since 2010, finally put out an album. The album was great. To me, he also did what you did. Great album cuts. Everything flowed well, top to bottom. The release, the execution, the thing that I love the most is that he was able to take his album in a climate where people forget about music the day after you put it out, and people are still talking about this album at the end of the year, nominated for a Grammy. Nipsey Hussle, Victory Lap. Not a perfect album, but fire. Like, really fire.
I went back and listened to this.
Okay.
I just don't like Nipsey as a rapper.
There you go.
And so I was listening to this, and I was just like, this just like, I don't think there's a single song on there that I ever need to come back to.
Wow. Okay.
I just don't like that album. It's not offensively bad at all.
Yeah.
But like, no, it just, no, not for me.
Okay.
Interesting. That's your number one.
That's my album of the year. Absolutely.
Huh.
Absolutely. It's an album that I can really sit down and just let rock. There's not a whack song on that album to me. Everything. The only takeaway is, yes, I believe Nipsey is limited as a rapper. In terms of,
I mean, that's never stopped me before.
Absolutely. Like, it's in terms of content, in terms of what he gets lauded for, you know, I thought about what B-Dot from Rap Radar said and then the discussion that we had following it. And I think it's true where he was like, yeah, this record's like a TED Talk. And then you were like, well, TED Talks are kind of, and they are. And I think that makes sense for Nipsey, though, because that's what I think people like in music. They love the idea of something, and Nipsey represents the idea of something, at least in his content. I love his execution in terms of, again, the rollout of the album, building it up for years, putting all of his focus onto one body of work, everything from the Proud to Pay, getting people to pay $100 for your album. Like, come on. Like, all of that in, the work that he's doing in Crenshaw, the narrative, all of that is, like, it's really interesting to me and engaging to me. And I think maybe to your point, like, I think people don't mind you lying to them as long as it's an interesting lie.
Yeah, I think people also want to be, sometimes people want to, they really want to be sold. Like, an honest to goodness, give them the sell. Give it to them.
An honest to goodness lie, yes.
Right?
Yeah. And so if we're going off of narratives, and if we're at that point where we're like, yo, like, there's a little bit of, we'll say at best, embellishment. At best, there's an embellishment to most of the things that we're sold, from products to corporations to everything. There's embellishment at best. Like, I want to say not everybody is totally honest, but the 1%, if we're going to keep coming back to that, are people who are totally honest with their product and their purpose and their intent and all that stuff. This was just a really good sell for me. And all the way down, ironically, the best song on the album to me is a freaking bonus track. Double Up is amazing. I love that record. And it's why I thought Belly was like sing-songy poor man's Drake. And then I saw him on, what was he on, LA Leakers or something, and he was rapping really well, and I was like, wait, who is this? And then some of our supporters, our followers, were like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, yeah, Far and Away. I'm long-winded. This is my number one album of the year.
Okay.
I'm dying to hear yours.
Astroworld, the most complete album of the year.
Complete.
The most complete album of the year, an album I came back to over and over again. Like, Travis wanted to make like an album.
He did. I agree with that.
Stargazing is dope. Carousel is dope. Sicko Mode might be the like my favorite like quote like hit single of the year. I think Sicko Mode is ridiculous. RP Screw is dope. Stop Trying to Be God is weird but kind of works. Skeletons with Tame Impala is nuts. 5% tint with that with the Goody Mob sample is crazy.
I'm mad I like that song because I hate Silk Therapy.
Can't Say, Don Toliver on Can't Say is like one of my favorite like guest appearances of the year. Houston Fornication is so dope. Like there, like to me, there's just like all up and down the album. Like it's an album to me that really it benefited because it didn't come out in the storm of everything that came out. Like, you know what I mean? Like him and Nicki came out the same week, but then like what came out after that, that M album didn't catch me. Like Logic mixtape didn't really catch me. Carter Five was on. We didn't really talk about Wayne at all in this episode. You know, it wasn't until that Lupe album that like something really, but like it benefited because there wasn't something that knocked it out of its spot. You know what I mean? If this album came out in May, I don't know if it'd be on my number one, but I listened to it a lot.
When did it come out again?
Came out August.
August, okay.
Yeah, August 3rd. And yeah, like Travis had a heck of a year.
He had a great year.
He had a great year.
He did.
Yep. And I've always been more of a Travis Scott fan than you are. I think that's mm-hmm. that's safe to say.
Absolutely.
I think this was a weak year for albums. Maybe not a weak year for music, but a weak year for albums.
Yeah. And with there being a greater focus on, or a step back from albums that we talked about with the show, that makes sense.
Right.
That's it. That's what it is.
Yeah, but also just like, I just listened to this a lot. Like, I think Travis Scott is somebody who, even if he doesn't like actually know his limitations as a rapper, but he doesn't really ever stretch in a bad way past them, if that makes sense. Like mm-hmm. he makes the most out of what he can do. And there mm-hmm. are a lot of Travis Scott detractors who will be like, oh, he's got help with this. And does he really produce that? And that like, and all that very well may be true. You look at the credits and you're like, oh, I see Sci-Hi helped write on this. I know. But like, first of all, it's 2019 now. And do people really care about that? Maybe they do. But I would also just challenge people and go, yeah, well, lots of people do that. And like, at the end of the day, what music are you putting out? And like, he's putting out music that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There's some songs in here that are just tremendous. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. I think Sicko Mode was so played out this year that I understand why people, you know, might not. People are like, oh yeah, Sicko Mode, big hit. Yeah, we get it. Sicko Mode as a hit is bizarre. Like it's really weird, right? It's that opening Drake part over a beat that everybody wanted to keep going. And it's like, no. Then you change it up. Then you've got the whole middle part. And then it's like, no. Let's change it up again, and then we're gonna have Drake come in rapping over a Take Heath beat about how he took, you know, the doctor's recommended dosage of Xanax so he could sleep on a flight, and then so he could then creep around Kanye West's neighborhood. And this was a number one hit. That's really weird.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoyed Astroworld tremendously.
That's funny. Yeah. I'm not mad at that. Astroworld didn't really hit me because Travis is one of those artists that I can't really take him in like extended doses. I get kind of like ear fatigue listening to him after a short time. Because there's a lot going on in his music.
There is. Yes.
And one thing I've noticed is that the older I get, the more I enjoy silence. So like when I'm in loud spaces, like, you know, my church is very boisterous in terms of like its worship. I can't really connect like that consistently because all I can think about is I'm at home right now and I can't hear anything.
Mm.
And like my thoughts come through clear. Like I'm calm, like my, like those are, so like when there's Travis and there's a lot, there's ad libs, there's switches, there's this voice is under this and this reverb and all that. And it's like, it's just a lot. Like my senses go on overload. Mm. My senses go on sicko mode. So yeah, but I get why that's a lot of people's albums because it feels like it was a very well produced album and that it was, it feels meticulous without being overthought, which I think you and I can attest to. Like, that's a skill.
Yeah. And he's also like, he's just trying stuff too, right? Like, it could have been, you know, he could have thinned out a little bit. And it's funny, like, I wouldn't even say it. Like, am I going to look back and say it's a classic album? I don't think so. Is there anything on this list that I'm going to look back and say is a classic album? I know people are going to say Daytona is a classic.
No.
But I don't think it is.
No.
But I don't know, again, man. That's tough.
Classics are associated with moments. Mm. So Daytona's a classic for what it represents with Drake. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Travis may be that just considering the year he had, depending on what he does from here. Did he back out of the NFL thing, out of Super Bowl?
No. There's still time. that's an interesting I think Travis subscribes to the theory of there's no such thing as bad publicity, because like Travis had a big year, but there's a huge percentage of the population who still if they know him, they know him because of his significant other.
Absolutely.
And so like, would he get backlash from some people for doing this? Yes. Would there be a ton of people who would know about Travis Scott for the first time because of this? Absolutely. There is upside for Travis on this.
Listen, man. Listen. Mm-hmm. You can fake protest me all to death, bro. Like, the majority of America is going to be watching this.
That's right. And Travis is, and he's known for his live, like, I'm sure he has full confidence in his live performance. Now, I have no idea in what context Maroon 5 is going to attempt to use Travis Scott. Right? But if they give him anything,
yeah,
like he's going to have I'm sure it'll be talked about, right? It'll be a thing that he can say he did. He played the, Super Bowl halftime show. Like, I read something like where Jay was like encouraging him like to not do it or whatever. And it's like, yeah, Jay has a lot to lose. Everybody knows who Jay-Z is. Not everybody knows who Travis Scott is.
I think Meek was doing the same thing. And I think Cardi turned it down too, right?
Cardi turned it down. Cardi is with the general public. Cardi's more famous than Travis is.
Travis Scott. I would agree with that.
So Travis is super well known musically and is vaguely well known in general pop culture, despite having a number one album and a huge tour and all that. So like, yeah, I could see how this would be a thing he wants to do. I'm not at all surprised.
Yeah, shut up. You're not taking, he's not taking a stand by not doing the Super Bowl. Shut up. You only want people to protest when it benefits you and your narrative. Shut up. Like, whatever. That's a whole other conversation. I hate that. Oh, I hate that. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I don't care. Let them do the Super Bowl. Because you're going to watch it. We're all going to watch it. We're going to be somewhere watching the Super Bowl. Shut up.
I'm sorry. Should people shut up? Is that what you're saying?
We were just complaining 10 years ago that Willie Nelson and ZZ Top were doing the Super Bowl. And now, no, we can't do it because of the... Well, why do you... Never mind. Whatever, Doc. I don't want to get to that because we just had a great episode. Okay, so that's your number one. Dope. And that doesn't even count his Jordan deal and his tour that he's on right now.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay, so if we're talking about... If we have top three people who had the best years of 2018, Drake is one, Cardi's two, Travis is three.
I think that's right.
Okay.
Is Pusha four?
If not four, he's five. I can't think of somebody who unquestionably had a better year than him. He might be four. At worst, he's five.
His year's so interesting, right? Because album that was just wildly well received, elevated his stature in a way that he had never had before.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, like, part of his objective during the year seemingly was to destroy Drake, which did not happen. Yeah. Not even close. It's a weird year for him.
Does him having to cancel the first half of his tour, does that factor into his year for underwhelming ticket sales?
I don't know. One of the smart things that they could have, like, if the Wyoming Adventures had sort of maybe been a bit more well received.
The Wyoming
had been maybe a slightly bit better well received. You can imagine a world where they do like something like a tour around that.
Absolutely. That was probably the play.
Because we didn't talk about Kanye's album.
We didn't.
We didn't talk about Kids See Ghosts.
We didn't. And people love Kids See Ghosts.
Boy, I went back and listened to that and I was like, nah, there's like three songs here I ever need to listen to again.
Yeah, I'm good. Not my bag.
Yep. The Kanye album, boy, I think Ghost Town is kind of underrated now, in a weird sense. Like,
it is. It sounds so much better now.
Ghost Town sounds great. I like the intro, but that last song is still one of the weirder songs.
And then the fact that like Nicki wrote it. Yeah,
Nicki didn't write it.
I thought Nikki helped write that. Or did she just
the one line?
Okay, well, she still wrote it.
No.
That's still credit.
No. You know who actually what came out? I thought you were going here. What came out is Kanye didn't. I mean, not that Kanye really. Who knows how much Kanye actually does write? But Kanye didn't write a lick of that. Parson Fontaine wrote that. AKA Cardi B's help, AKA et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which, like,
this generation's Sean Garrett.
Yeah, kind of. And it's like, all right, so like if his claim to fame is that he wrote that song and he helps write for Cardi, okay. What else you got, buddy? Because like
buddy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I don't know. But yeah, there's parts of that album where I'm just like, no, what is going on here? It's such an, that Ye album is so like, it needed another 2 weeks.
Yes.
You know, very clearly, like parts that are slapped together, like at the absolute last possible second and not in a good way.
Yes.
You know, that's one of those things where it's like, yeah, good. You did 5 albums in 5 weeks. Some of those could have cooked a little more. Like, actually, like ironically, like,
yes.
Like, so Nazir, I don't really know how much you would have cooked that. Maybe you would have made another song or two that you would have swapped in or out. But like those songs sound fully formed and... Now, maybe they're not your taste, or maybe you wish Nas was rapping differently. But like, Ye sounds like an amalgamation of like studio sessions in not a good way at all.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
what else,
I agree.
What else did we talk about? We didn't talk about Migos really at all, right? So Culture 2 came out.
Yeah.
Quavo and Takeoff.
Had
two albums. We, you know, and out of them, I was like, okay, great. Thanks for playing.
So I don't think that those, you know, I don't think that those albums necessarily hurt the Migos brand. I think the Quavo record was probably a year too late. But I feel like if anything, people are just like, all right, it's the streaming. Okay. I had this conversation again with Taylor yesterday. Like the streaming era is so low risk.
It is.
Because when we talk about this all the time, like when we bought that Cannabis album for $20, oh, we're going to find a way to like a song or like something off of there. But now you have every single album to ever be released on your phone.
Right.
And so if Quavo puts out that album 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and it's not good, even 5 years ago, if it's not good, like the Migos take a hit. But now it's like, I don't like it.
Yeah, I look at, so like, you know, Culture 2 had songs that at least like popped, you know, and worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like Quavo and Takeoff's albums, like some songs that got some play, but like nothing that like the next Migos tour, are they going to play a single song off those? You know, they might play Working Me or whatever because they want to push something from each artist. But like, it's not like, anything on there goes, it's not like there was really fan favorite. It's like, yes, streaming is low risk, but like you still need something. Because if you, yep. if streaming is so low risk that you just keep putting stuff out, like eventually people are like, well, what are you doing? You know, like, is there anything here? Even if it's just a song or two, like you gotta, you know, that's the danger, right? Yeah, you get sucked into thinking that, you know, oh, I can just keep putting more stuff out. And it's like, well, you need something to work. You still need music, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but to my point, I think they just, it's going to be a thing where it's like, all right, well, the Migos just need to put out something and they'll put out another project this year and we'll be like, oh yeah, remember when they put out an album? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It won't matter.
So like that Ray Schremmert album early 2018, right? That triple disc.
Right. Yeah.
I think that actually didn't do them favors because
it did not.
I went back and re-listened, skimmed through that. Uh-huh. A single disc of that would have been
crazy.
Surprisingly good, actually.
Not surprisingly, because their first album was dope.
Yeah, I think they can do stuff. But like a single disc of that would have made a lot more sense. But, you know, they were like, no, we got to do 3 discs. And so I'm sure Migos are thinking, well, we could do 4 or 5. You know, it's like, well, sure. But like, if you're going to put all that stuff out, like it's weird because they were treating it like it was a streaming thing, right? Where like, we're going to put all this content out. But they clearly had songs picked out that they were going to push and do videos for. Like the old way of thinking about releasing music. Like they were going to push that Swae Lee Guatemala record no matter what. And they did a video. they didn't treat it like, let's throw this stuff at the wall, see what sticks, and move quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that works to blend those two ideas, where it's like, well, we're going to put all this stuff out, but we've still got the two songs that we're really going to push. It's like, well, then why not just do it really traditionally? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. What else did I go back and listen to? The Timberlake Man of the Woods album. Oh, boy.
Bruh.
I feel better about some of the songs than I did, for sure.
Okay.
Like Breeze Off the Pond. Like some of the stuff that felt a little corny to me actually feels a little better now.
Okay.
But there's like half that album that you just have to completely delete forever. All the country sounding stuff is just, no, I can't. I'm like, he is not Bubba Doc. Sparks, man. I can't. Doc. I can't do it.
Doc.
What?
He's a man of the woods.
I just can't. I just can't.
Yeah.
But like, there are songs on here. Definitely.
Let's go back to your list that you posted online.
Higher, Higher is ridiculous. Midnight Summer Jam's actually not bad. Okay. A little cheesy.
Oh my God.
Montana and Breeze Off the Pond. Okay. I'm cool with that. But like, nah. Most of the stuff, nah, I'm good.
Oh wow.
What's that?
No, I'm just looking at
the list.
No. My boy Malcolm said this was his first time hearing We Are the Champions.
Oh yeah.
Oof. That's really all I've been listening to the last 2 days, is the Paid in Full soundtrack.
Rock Army is not very good.
It's not.
Okay. It's one of those things where like you look at that track list, you look at that who's on that song, you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That hook is terrible.
Yeah. The beat's not good either, actually.
The beat's okay. Okay.
But like Jay, Free, Cam, you know, it's like, okay. No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, we've got Ray Shrimmer, Black Panther album. No. I think we talked about that on the Grammys. Logic, Triple X, Weeknd.
Weeknd has like one song I like. That, you know, I was, one thing I was curious, I was wondering if the ASAP Rocky album would sound better.
Yeah, because people have that as like their most disappointing album.
Yeah, it's just not good. And it's weird because like when he's doing stuff, this throwaway stuff with Tyler.
Right.
Can we just get the ASAP and Tyler album, please?
Absolutely.
Because like,
go on tour, put out an album.
Right. I don't know if it's because, you know, his guy, you know, unfortunately passed away. I don't know if that was who was helping him with the sound, but like his ear for beats is not there anymore. Either he lost it. Right. I don't know what is it, but like he's just not picking, like he used to have an incredible ear for beats typically. There would always be a handful of songs you're like, yeah. Now it's just, we're good. Yeah. We're good.
Yeah. Okay.
What else can we talk about?
We went here. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. We went through all these. Yeah. You said you were a Lil Baby fan.
I kind of like Lil Baby and Gunna. Yeah. Okay. I like what they're doing.
Okay. Okay.
It's one of those things where it's like, I don't think either the Lil Baby Harder Than Ever or the Drip Harder album are like complete masterpiece bodies of work or whatever, but like.
It's not Illmatic,
but. I kind of like, they've got some stuff. Like they can make, okay. they have like elevated themselves past like what I would call just like, because there's a lot of like stereotypical, like call it trap, call it whatever, but there's like a lot of just stuff out there and they kind of elevate, sure. they're a little bit elevated me. Like I'll tell you, one of the worst albums of the year is that Sheck West album. And if you listen to this podcast and you like Sheck West, please let me know via Twitter. Cause like, it is bad.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
I mean, Mo Bamba's a bad song.
Mo Bamba is awful.
It's a really bad song.
It's one of the more tone-deaf hooks I've ever heard in my life. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I went back and listened. I went and finally listened to that Tierra Whack album.
Yeah. I went through her Instagram.
Well, that's how you listen to it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know if it was on streaming services or not. I went through. So are the songs on streaming services, are they a minute
they
long
are.
Too? Wow.
Right, so that's an interesting format, 1 minute songs. I think Tierra Whack has talent. There's something there. I don't think she's there yet, but
I agree.
There's definitely some weirdness and some uniqueness there.
I agree.
I kind of get it, but she's not there yet.
That was the takeaway. That was my takeaway as well. Yes. Yes.
I listened to that Rock Marciano album. Because I saw that pop up on some like, hey, you might have slept on this list. I think I'm just not big into Rock as a rapper.
that it's I like rock because of what he's doing with how he puts his music out.
He has a dope ear for samples. Oh my God. I was listening to some of these samples and I was like, I was flying, so I wasn't taking notes, but I need to go back and take notes. Cause I'm like,
There's one in particular. I'm like, yep, give that to Doc. I like the fact that he's like, you know, he's made it to where people are willing to pay $20-$30 for his music. I can appreciate that as an independent artist, especially somebody who's trying to navigate how they want to release music in 2019, if that is a viable option. Like his music, like he's in that West Side Gun Griselda vein, but he's just not interesting as a rapper. The samples are dope, but then like that's just not it for me. It's not it for me.
Can we finish up by talking just about some songs that we like that we haven't talked about yet?
Sure.
We didn't talk about Childish, This Is America.
Great video, decent song.
Agreed. But that video that's a great video, and that was a moment.
Absolutely.
I think I was in Japan when that came out, so I just remember like...
Soft flex.
No, I wasn't trying to flex. It was more of a, because he did SNL and then the video dropped immediately after, right?
I don't remember.
I think so. Okay. And so like, it was one of those things where because of the time change, I didn't catch SNL live, but like me waking up in the morning coincided with like, or me getting to do whatever. I forget what it was, but basically it was like, oh, the video just came out. So like, I got a chance to see it. And it wasn't like late at night or anything like that. And I was just like, it was one of those things where immediately I was like, oh, all right. Now I have no idea. It's really interesting. Cause like that came out, went number one. But like, and he put out some other songs later this year that sound nothing like that. But there's no hint that there's like, that this was supposed to be like the first single. It was really truly just, I'm doing a song with a video and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not a bad idea. There might be some other artists who could do stuff like that.
Absolutely. Because he put out the two records after that. I think there was a video for one of them.
Yeah, one of the summer records, right?
Yep. And then he's like on a kind of tour.
He's definitely, on a kind of tour. Yeah. I've seen him live before. He's great live. So that's, you know.
Okay.
I felt like we had to give a shout out to This Is America. We didn't talk about Diplomatic Immunity.
Yo, we're trash.
That song is great.
Well, we're trash because God's Plan was like right there. We were like, but Diplomatic Immunity.
Because we're old.
Man. We're old.
We're old.
And we like our rapidy rap. Mm. Yeah, Diplomatic Immunity is fire.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's fire.
This is a song I liked and listened to all year round, but the rest of the album I didn't really get much into. We didn't talk about it, but like, man, I love J-Rock's Win. I love that beat so much. Oh my God.
That's a layup.
That beat and that hook.
Any horns, anything that has to, any song that has to do with sports or achievement. I guess a layup.
I give J-Rock credit. Like they realize that he's definitely doing a lot of licensing, right?
Absolutely. But, that's his bag this year.
But they had to, they definitely had to like go and re-record the hook, which I totally get, right? Because otherwise that just doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
They should have
known that though, if they were going, they had to have done that. They had to have pitched a clean version to licensing companies. They had to.
Yeah, but instead he's definitely done some like more sports oriented.
Oh, okay. So kind of like what Petey Pablo did with Raise Up. Like here's the Denver version.
Right. And here's the Arizona sports version. Because like a sports hook on Win is just
it's easy.
Take it. Go ahead.
Like ESPN is kicking your door down.
Pretty much.
With checks.
Pretty much.
Yeah. 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 And then he's still, a lot of people have that album as their album of the year. I didn't like
it.
But yeah, I wasn't crazy about
it.
But people like is it Backseat Freestyle or am I thinking of Good Kid, M.A.A.D City?
Wow Freestyle?
Which one?
Wow Freestyle?
Yes,
I don't even remember what that sounds like. It's Hit Boy?
He shot a video for it and everything. That sounds about right. It's very bassy.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit Boy, he definitely, I'll give, you know, he's got like, he's got his drum and bass, like his drums and bass are very identifiable.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything else that was really, oh, you know who, speaking of Top Dog, I want to give a shout out to Sir.
Who's still haven't gotten into Sir?
Whose music I listened to because I knew it was on the set list for when I went to go see TDE live. That November album came out in January, and there's three songs on there that I'm like, oh, okay, like The Evils is great. That is an awesome song. Like Sir's got some songs. And if I would have like actually listened to like him in the context of an album, that might have actually snuck up on there. Because Sir's not, that album's not that long. It's like 10 or 11 tracks. But like he's got a handful of songs that I was just like, oh. And then also to his credit, he can actually sing. Like when he was live, he sounded fantastic.
Okay.
Which is not always easy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you went to the tour. Yeah.
Which is not always easy, right?
No, not at all.
So
not with like another artist on their label who's been catching a lot of flack lately.
Well, yeah, I don't know what SZA is doing right now.
I don't know. Can we talk about these albums leaking on streaming services?
Sure, we can. Is there anything else you want to say about 2018 before we get to that and we can end with that? Or
were there any other singles that you had?
I don't think so, because I talked about a lot of them.
I think we talked about most of the year.
I'm trying to think if there's anything. I'm sure there's stuff that I'm absolutely missing.
There's stuff. Our audience is going to let us know. Hit us up at CRS Podcast, at @Doc_Beats, @S0Z, at Armand Wake Up. You guys will let us know.
Yeah, so the idea of albums leaking. So what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
So there was a SZA album, and there were, I believe, two Beyoncé albums that leaked over the weekend onto. I don't know if they were. Yeah, on streaming services.
Yeah,
I saw them on Spotify and Apple Music. I didn't check Tidal.
Did you hear any of them?
No. I looked at the Beyoncé track list and. Quite a few of those records had already been out.
Just in a different form?
Yeah, they were like just chilling on YouTube. Just stuff that's come out Dangerously in Love sessions, the B-Day sessions, like whatever. And then SZA got in front of the narrative, got online, addressed it, and said that they were, I think, demos from 2015, 2016 or something like that.
Yeah.
But just this idea of, you know, we come from Sin Space, Mediafire, like mega upload, like now we're just like we're Super Bowl. We're just gonna change your name, and we're gonna upload. You gotta pay to do that.
I was gonna say it's getting easier, but it's not as easy as like it's not like anybody could without spending any money just take an album and upload it to a streaming service and try to get money
for it. Right.
But it's also it's definitely easier. I'll say.
Yeah.
So,
but it's just interesting that that's where we're at.
This felt to me a little like one of those things, not quite as much because, so it's kind of like the streaming equivalent of like, didn't Game have something where like, after he got signed to Aftermath and was about to like blow up, like, was it JT the bigger figure who like had a bunch of his records and was like trapped in it? So, like, the Beyonce stuff, maybe not, but the SZA stuff really just strikes me as, here's stuff that somebody had from earlier sessions that was clearly not going to be used. They felt some kind of way about it. Maybe they're not involved in SZA's career anymore and they want to get what they can get for it. Now, it's kind of stupid because they're going to get sued. That's what I don't understand. It's like, aren't they going to get sued?
Right. I don't know. I don't know how that works, bro. Yeah, I have no idea.
It's really just weird. It's just so strange. The Beyonce stuff, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did they think that there wasn't going to be a cease and desist within hours? Is that going to be really worth whatever streaming revenue they got off it? I mean, as an artist, Armand, you've been talking about this on social media lately. Like, it's not as though streaming money is huge. Now, streaming money is going to be bigger, obviously, for like Beyonce. But like, first of all, it wasn't labeled Beyonce.
Right.
You had to go find it. And by the time that people could find it, well, they're going to talk about it, which means you've got, you know, you start the clock, right? You've got, what, 12 hours at best before it's taken down? Maybe even faster?
Yeah, because then the question is, well, then how do those payouts work? Do those payouts just get shut down? You don't get that money?
Yeah, it just seems like a really bizarrely stupid scheme.
And now you're out $30 or $50 or however much you pay your distribution service.
Well, never mind that. Presumably, there are real names on the submission paperwork, right? So like Beyonce's lawyers are going to be able to work back and figure this out, right? It's not like you can just like in the under the cover of night, like mysteriously go to like a secret iTunes site and hit an upload button. You know what I mean? Like
in the cover of night.
Like this is just pretty dumb to me. Like it's like
right.
They're going to find you.
Right.
So
yeah.
What was the point?
I don't know, man.
It would have been more, but go ahead. Sorry.
I was gonna say, well, you know, this generation doesn't know about. This generation doesn't know about
leaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it would have been more to me. Like, I could see something like this, something sort of related to this scenario happening in the future. Where, like, imagine a world where, like, you have somebody kind of like how what Fauntleroy used to do, where, like, you're doing demos for people.
Yes.
But you're buried on your label.
Yes. And, Frank Ocean, the Lonnie Bro sessions.
Right. I could see a world where, like, all of a sudden, there's some scenario where some up and coming artist is doing demos or doing rough stuff, or some producer like was working with somebody and then they got like, then they got sort of like, they didn't get the right credit, and you sort of do it out of like, no, you're going to hear what I've done.
Yep.
I could see a world like that, but that's not what this was, right? It's not like that SZA stuff was like, oh, here's a bunch of songs that she ended up like writing and sending to other people. And it's just so you can, it was whatever producer she worked with in those rough cuts who wanted people to hear the rest of the stuff. Like it was just really weird to me. But like, I wouldn't be surprised at some point in the future if we get sort of that, like, yeah, like the Lonnie cuts, like that sort of Frank Ocean style thing. I could see that happening at some point in the future and being a controversy about it. Right. Yeah. Because if it's like, let's say you're, you know, new artist, if you're this new artist, you wrote the stuff, it's you singing. People know it's very clearly another song. I mean, it's very clearly a song that another popular artist has already put out or is about to put out, but you're singing it. You're not saying it's their name on it. It's your words. And so that's a very interesting legal fight.
Yep.
And then also, if you do something like that, are you really just burning your bridges in the industry?
Right.
But I could maybe see a world where something like that happens. And that's the sort of thing where, like, it used to be that sort of stuff would just get leaked because you didn't have the label to help you get it pressed up. But in this era of streaming, you could put it out. Yep. And it would look just like everything else does on Apple Music and Spotify.
Yep. I agree.
Okay. All right, man. Anything else you want to talk about?
I think we're good. I think we fed the streets plenty for this week.
Thank you, everybody, as always, for listening to Clock Radio Speakers. As always, hit us up at CRS Podcast. Let us know what you think. I'm sure people are going to have, they're going to feel some kind of way about our lists. Maybe mostly my lack of an actual top 10, but that's okay. I'd love to know, like, if y'all have other obvious, if you have other things that you thought were like super obvious, yes, this needs to be top 3, top 5, or whatever, like, let us know. But other than that, man, you got anything else? You got anything you want to plug or talk about?
Nope. See you guys next time.
All right. See y'all next time.